Hi everyone at PGC. It's nice to be able to join your worship this week. Even though we can't really be physically together, we're still in this pandemic, but God pulls us together spiritually so that we can enjoy a time of looking to Him, connecting with Him, hearing from Him. And I hope that we would all be blessed together by this. Today, the topic given to me regarding this part of chapter 2 of Daniel is the God of mystery. But when I hear the word mystery, I think about movies. many of us may like that category of movies. Suspenseful, whodunit, hard to figure out mystery movies. Or books, for that matter. I think of that too, right? We love a mystery. But maybe we don't always love it. Maybe we love a mystery when it's in a movie or in a story, but not so much when it's happening in our lives. It's fun to watch, but maybe not so fun to be actually in. That's what Daniel discovered. During the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, he and his friends ended up in a mystery, but it was a mystery that seemed impossible to solve. And they definitely did not love this mystery, at least not initially. Let's pray before we go on to dig deeper into what was happening with Daniel. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are indeed a God of mysteries. But we want to come to understand that a little bit more. We want to come to dig a little bit about the mysteries in our own lives and how we have to deal with it. So Lord, may you speak to all of us, including the one who happens to be in front of the camera talking. May he only speak what he hears from you and not his own ideas. Lord, may you bless us all through hearing your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to share with you three things that you actually see in your outline, if you have the outline, just the three main points. The first thing is, when we are in mysteries, it's about reacting in mysteries. Not always the best thing, but we do react. We have a reaction. Okay? And the second thing is how we respond to the mysteries. And our response doesn't necessarily have to be our initial reaction. And the third thing is how we can reassure through the mysteries. Reassuring through the mysteries. So we're going to discuss those three things. The first thing is reaction to mysteries. Well, like I said, we all love a mystery, but we're no Sherlock Holmes. And that's what makes it a little bit more difficult for the average person, an average real person like us. I mean, we do notice that Sherlock Holmes is not a real person, a fictional character. He always solves it. But when we are in that position, and if we're in a mystery, hey, guess what? A lot of times we can't solve it. And a lot of times we are presented with mysteries that we cannot solve. We love mysteries because they are easy to watch. It's good to watch someone else solve the mystery. It's even fun to watch someone else solve the mystery, right? But it's not fun to solve it, especially when there are no easy answers. Sometimes it's even easy to be in a mystery. You see, for most of us, our concept of a mystery has been dominated by encountering mysteries in an entertainment context. And so sometimes we can even be in a mystery, but still in an entertainment context. Like what? Like those escape rooms. Some of you maybe have done the escape rooms. I've tried it. It was difficult, okay? But even there, it could be fun, right? Because it's an entertainment. It's not real, right? And being in even that situation, even though we're in a mystery, but not a real mystery in an entertainment context, then it's actually still okay, right? And even though it's hard, but we are there, we kind of know that this doesn't really matter that much, right? We tried. my team was in this escape room, and we looked at all the clues, we did calculations, we searched, we tried to solve puzzles, and then time's up, we were dead. Yeah, we were dead. However, we didn't really die, right? Because we know that that's not a real thing. A movie or a game or a book or escape room adventure, we know that it's just a simulation of sorts, right? But Daniel was not in that situation. Daniel was in a real life mystery. And not only was he in a real life mystery, a real life mystery with high stakes. Everybody's lives were at stake. I assume that you guys did the earlier part of Daniel. So what happened was, just to recap for everyone, you know, what happened was Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He couldn't figure it out. So he called together all the wise men of the land, and I guess the top ones were there, and he asked them, you know, to interpret his dream. The only issue was he would not tell them his dream. So all these people are going, that's impossible. There is no way. You're giving us a task that nobody could possibly perform. Only the gods can do it, and God does not live amongst us. And that's what they said, right? And this was a mystery that nobody could, could actually deal with. Probably not even Sherlock Holmes. I mean, Sherlock Holmes needs evidence, right? And in this case, no evidence, no information was even given to them. Right? Nebuchadnezzar says, I won't tell you what the dream is. You have to interpret it, but I won't even tell you what the dream is. To interpret is hard enough, but to not even have that information to interpret. So that's the mystery that Daniel and his friends face. And the situation he was in was such that, the outcome of that conversation that the king had with the wise men was that all of the wise men, including Daniel and his friends, were going to be put to death. Now, talk about high stakes. This is high stakes, not just for Daniel himself or his friends, and for a whole lot of other people. And it's against a mystery that seems unfair for them to be able to solve, right? That's the situation that Daniel was in. We can remain relatively calm when we were doing the escape room. Right? Because we knew that we were friends and we were going to be, you know, this is just going to be for fun. And in the end, we're not really going to be trapped in there and we're not going to die and everything will be fine. Right? And so our reaction is not a genuine reaction. How do we really react to a mystery that we can't solve? A mystery that has high stakes when lives are at stake? That's a whole different thing. People may panic. And we may have that reaction too, welling up from inside us. We may panic. We may react with fear. We may start blaming, which is what the wise men did. They start blaming the king, which was not a good move, I have to say, right? And Daniel didn't just react. I'm sure he had all kinds of complex and horrible reactions when he heard the news, just like any of us would. Reactions exist. But we don't have to follow the reactions. When we're in a real life mystery and we have no answers, don't just react in fear, panic, or blame. Don't react by instinct. Respond properly. So that brings us to our second point. How do we respond to mysteries? My title for this point is Responding to Mysteries, Never Alone. Well, that doesn't seem to be the obvious thing to do, but the earlier part before this passage that we read, we know what Daniel did, right? We know what Daniel did. He eventually, in this passage, you see that he's telling people, he's telling us, he's telling the king that he's got the answer to the mystery. So somehow he got to the answer of the mystery. The question is, how did he get there? How did he respond to the mystery in such a way that he got to the answer? And that actually has a lot to do with recognizing that he was never alone. See, it's very easy at a time like that to just think about myself to think about, for Daniel to just think about himself. Oh no, I'm going to die. And, you know, I'm going to be unfairly put to death. And, oh, you know, what a horrible thing happening to me. All the things that I might want to do in life that I don't get to do now, and so on. But you know what? The first thing he thought of was actually, he thought of, I'm not alone. I have my friends. So he went to his friends right away. You see, that's an important thing. Not just any friends. He was looking for those friends of his that were close, that he knew were close to God. See, friends who are close to God. We are never alone because there are always friends who are close to God around us. Whether you're a Christian or not, even if you're not a Christian, if you look, you'd be able to find people who are already your friends who are close to God, or that they are willing to be your friend who are close to God. If you look, they're there. And that's the first instinct. But the second instinct goes even beyond that. You see, you might think, well, let's just call together a bunch of friends and we'll just, you know, share in our misery together, share in our fear and panic and blaming together. Well, that's not what they did. Daniel called together his friends and they knew that they were not alone, not only because they have one another. They knew that they as a group were not alone because they also have God. So together, they said, let's pray. Let's go to God to look for the answer, to look to God to lead us step by step. And that's what they did. They recognized that not only are they not alone because they don't have people, they actually do have people around them. They're not alone because they have people also, because they are people who are close to God, and that all together, God is with them. So they are never alone. Even if they could not find another person, even if they were separated. Like today, in the pandemic, many of us are separated and it may feel alone. But we are not really alone. Even when we're in different places, we're not really alone. Because God is always with us. Christ is always the head who is connecting all of us together. And we are never actually alone because of God. And they recognize that. And maybe we often see that within the pandemic and other situations that we're in. Maybe it has to do with our school troubles. Maybe it has to do with mysteries in our career. Maybe it has to do with mysteries in our relationships. Mystery in all kinds of other things. Mystery in our emotional struggles, etc. Often we can feel alone. We can feel we're isolated, but we are not. I know a young man whom I just talked to this week. At one point, life was a horrible mystery to him. There was just a number of things, but one of them really big that he couldn't figure out. And it was so big that it drove him into depression for many years. He isolated himself. He didn't have any friends. He didn't talk to anybody. He didn't recognize it at the time. So he allowed himself to become more and more alone, to live as if he was more and more alone, but he actually never was. You see, all through this whole time, all through these years, his father was with him, his dad was with him, even though he was in a conflict with his father. That was part of the mystery he was trying to work out, right? And so he was in conflict with his father, and there was all kinds of issues that he felt came from that conflict in the relationship. But his dad, even though in conflict with him, never gave up on him. So through a number of reasons, but one of them was his dad, that I got involved, that I got to know this young man. And God then brought me into connection with him. So I walked with him through, you know, more than 10 years of his life. And I was always there. God made it very clear to me that I was not to abandon this young man. So I walked alongside with, you know, with him, along with his dad. But he certainly may have still felt that way. There are ways that the enemy can make us feel alone. And then he started sharing with me that he cannot have any friends. It's not possible given how he was and, you know, that the mystery that he couldn't solve, he could not have any friends. And it turned out not to be true. Turned out over time, one by one, he started to make friends. And then he started to come out of his shell. And recently, he completed a major step forward by getting a job. Not any joke. He went from being in fear of people, of meeting even with people, of talking to people. He couldn't get a job before because he was in fear every time he had to think about the idea of going to an interview. He just got a job doing something that requires him to talk to people from the time he starts working to the time he gets off. And guess what? He's discovered, and some of the people he talks to will be unfriendly because of the nature of the job. And guess what? He actually discovered, he said to me the other day, this is a perfect job for me. He has come a long ways. Why? He said a lot of it is because of his friends. But slowly, he's also beginning to understand that God has been there too, whether he really recognizes it or not. His mystery had a lot to do with his bad interactions with his dad. But then he kept thinking the solution is to change his dad, change the circumstances, and it never changed. So he had no way of solving this mystery. As it turned out, when he started to connect with people and to connect with God, even by the little bit that he's connecting, he's somewhere in between a non-Christian and a Christian, even by the whatever way he is connecting with God, his perspective changed. And he had to admit the other day that the circumstances with his dad didn't change, but something changed inside. And that allows him to deal with that situation and the situation with work, with other people, completely differently. That is a transformation that comes from above. And that happens when we respond to a mystery by recognizing that we are not alone. We don't solve the mysteries alone. It has to be revealed to us. That's what happened with Daniel and his friends. They prayed to God. They couldn't figure out the answer. They had no information to figure anything out. But God revealed the answer to the mystery to them. And similarly, we don't solve the mysteries alone. It has to be revealed to us by God. And that is, by the way, the definition of a mystery in the Bible. A mystery is a secret that was hidden, but that has been revealed by God. And that's what Daniel and his friends discovered when they responded in this way, recognizing that they were never alone. So far we've talked about what happens, you know, when we are met with a real life mystery that we have no answers for. First, we talked about reacting to the mystery. And often our reaction is not the best. We may love a mystery, but when it happens in our real lives, we don't react well. We often react with fear, panic, and blaming. But Daniel showed us a second thing, which is very important. Don't just react, but we talked about responding to the mystery. And our response to the mystery has to recognize that we are never alone. We gather the people who are close to God together with us, and we go to God together, recognizing that God is with us. So we are never alone, even as a group. So this is what has been happening. So the third thing that we want to talk about is reassuring through the mysteries. Reassuring through the mysteries. In the outline, besides that point, what I have is a quote that came from the scripture passage today. It says, "What will happen in days to come?" And that is the key. You see, if you look at Daniel's focus, it's very interesting. Okay? If you and I were in Daniel's place, and we just heard this answer from God of how to interpret the dream, we might put all of our focus there. We said, hey, this is amazing. God has given us the answer to your dream. And you didn't even tell us the dream. This is a completely miraculous. So that's where we focus our eyes, right? That this is miraculous. This is just amazing. God did this. God is great. And interestingly, if you look at the last few verses here, verses 27 to 30, and you'll see Daniel's focus. Let me read that out again, okay? Roughly, I'll read it out. Daniel said to the king, right? No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery that he has asked about. But there, so he's sounding like the other wise man, right? But there is a big difference. The big difference is Daniel says, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Unlike the other wise man who said that only God knows and God is not here, we can't ask him. Daniel, in responding to the mystery, recognized that God is here. We are not alone. We can ask him. So he says that, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King what will happen in days to come. What will happen in days to come? That was his focus. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you lay on your bed are these. As you were lying there, O King, your mind turned to things to come. It's about the future. And a revealer of mystery showed you what is going to happen, right? What will happen in days to come? What is going to happen? Okay? And as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom, but so that you, O King, may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind about the things to come, about the days to come, about the future. You see, Daniel's focus after hearing what God has to say, he wasn't so taken up by the fact that it was miraculous and that God had done this miraculous thing and that he's doing it through me and my friends. Well, that's actually not a bad thing. That is a really good thing, actually. But as good as that was, Daniel set his eyes on something even better. And I'll tell you what that is. You see, this is a very interesting thing, okay? Daniel didn't focus on solving the mystery and the lives that were saved. And this act of solving the mystery through Daniel saved a lot of lives. He didn't focus on solving the mystery and saving lives, but he focused on God revealed the days to come, right? God revealed what is going to happen in the days to come. The God of mysteries is also the God beyond mysteries. Let me say that again. The God of mysteries is also the God beyond mysteries. And if I were you, if we can be like Daniel, we would not only look to the God of mysteries, but we would look to the God beyond the mysteries. And what is the difference? What is the difference? It is the God beyond mysteries who tells us we have a future. See, it's not just about that miracle for that moment. The God who tells us we have a future, tells us what is to come in the days ahead, tells us that he knows what's going to happen in the future, even that he holds the future in his hands. That is a whole different thing from a God who just solves the problem. You see, let's go back to Sherlock Holmes, right? We love the character, we love the story of Sherlock Holmes because he solves the mystery, okay? And that seems to be good. He solves the present mystery, but there is no reassurance about the future, is there? Someone who can solve the present mystery gives us no reassurance about the future. But the God who speaks about the days to come, that is the God beyond the mystery. Not only does he solve the mystery, he tells us about what is to come after. And that is the God who is beyond the mystery. That's where our reassurance comes from. Not just a God who solves the mystery, but a God who can speak to, who can hold the future in his hands. You see, if for the God who solves the mystery, our response may very well be, wow, that's amazing. We applaud. Right? We applaud. We say, that's amazing. That's really good. But that's a God that we applaud. Very different from a God who holds the future in his hands. A God who tells us about the days to come. A God who sets up the days to come for us and waves us to join him, to walk with him. That is a God that we not only applaud, but a God that we love. A God that we walk with, a God that we embrace, a God that we can love. See the difference? Daniel was reassured Because God is the God beyond the mystery, who shows him and who shows Nebuchadnezzar, who shows everyone else what will happen in days to come. And that says, God will stay with us in the days to come. God cares enough to have set up the days to come and ordained the days to come. He cares enough to say that we are going to be with him in the days to come. You see, a God like that, we know we're going to be walking with. A God like that, we know, is a God who cares. See, a God of mysteries is the starting place only. But the God beyond mysteries, it's the God that we have a relationship with, right? Daniel was reassured because God is the God beyond the mystery who shows them what will come. And that says God will stay with us in the days to come, no longer just about one mystery, but about a relationship that spans all the mysteries in our lives. Let me say that again. See, the God beyond the mysteries is no longer just the God who solves one mystery and gives us no assurance about our whole lives. But now, the God who is beyond the mysteries is the God who stays with us no matter how many, no matter what kind of mysteries life throws at us. When Jesus calmed the storm, you know, the disciples were on the boat for many hours, rowing and rowing. But, it's actually, if you look carefully at that incident, they'd been rowing for hours and they were still trapped in this storm. And they were worried that they're going to lose their lives. And Jesus comes, right? And he calms the storm. And when Jesus calms the storm, it isn't, if all we see is, wow, Jesus is fantastic. You know, he is so powerful. Even the wind and the storm, listens to him, which is true because that's what the scripture says, right? But if we only stop there, we'd be missing the better part of what that was all about. You see, what Jesus was telling the disciples wasn't just that he had the power, wasn't just that he could stop the wind and the storm. More importantly was that he would be with them, and that when they are with him, they don't need to fear whatever storms that may come. They don't need to fear whatever mystery that they feel is beyond their capability of solving. And the same for us. When we are in a mystery that we cannot handle in life, when we don't have any answers to deal with this issue, maybe it's a relationship issue. Maybe it is a school issue. Maybe it's a career issue. Maybe it's my own personality issue. Maybe it's a spiritual struggle that I have. Maybe it's a temptation issue. Whatever the mystery is, it is something where we look at it and said, I don't know how to solve it. And as a result, it's a mystery to me because I don't have the answer no matter how I look. God is with us. He will be with us through one mystery, two mysteries, through all of the difficult mysteries that God can throw at us. Let me conclude with this story. Some of you know a place that used to be very popular with the young people called the Funky Monkey. And it was opened by a brother in Christ, a good friend of mine. And I just chatted with him earlier this week. So there was a whole story about Funky Monkey and how people came to Christ because of that place, even including a Muslim young man who just walked in one day, and then, you know, a short time later he became a Christian, and a whole bunch of others that I've met who have become Christians, and some who have had their Christian faith reignited, right? So that's a wonderful story as it is. But since that has closed, Chris gave me permission to share this with you guys, by the way. So Chris had been trying to figure out what does God want him to do, and it's been a while now. It's been well over a year and something, maybe close to two. I've lost count of time. But basically, you know, he's been trying to figure out what does God want me to do. And he shared with me what happened to him earlier, just in the last couple of weeks. He had been looking, out of one of the contacts that was made through the through Funky Monkey, he got to know another brother in Christ who was in prison ministries. But then he introduced him to this thing of where you deliver bread. It's actually funny to the grocery stores and so on. It's funny because when he said that, I thought, wow, you know, it's something that we so easily take for granted that bread would be there in the stores. But we don't realize that somebody every day has to get fresh bread to the stores because nobody wants stale bread, right? Somebody has to get those there, right? And they have to do it before the store opens in the morning. So he ended up starting to do this work. And then now it got to a point where he wanted to buy a franchise. So a franchise is you have a territory that you deliver bread to these particular stores, you know, like Loblaws or, you know, Garden Basket and so on, all these Walmart, all these places, right? So he had been looking to see if someone would sell their territory. But number one, it's, you know, if someone wants to sell it, it may not be where he wants to work. And he really wants to work in Markham and near a particular area in Markham because his kids go to a Christian school and he wants to be able to be convenient to be able to drive the kids there and pick up the kids, right? And so he had been looking and then he found one that was in Markham, right? But the person, long story short, the person wanted a fairly large sum of money to buy the territory, more than the usual going price. But he thought, well, you know what? This is so, you know, I'm not going to find another one in Markham because lots of people, when they have the territory, they don't sell it, right? And because they keep work, they're still working at it and earning money from it. Yeah. So when all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he didn't have a solution. He didn't, you know, it was too expensive. He wasn't sure if he's able to buy it and he didn't have a really good solution. It was a good territory. It wasn't ideal, but it was pretty good. It's in Markham. So he thought, well, maybe that is the solution. At first, he didn't even know where to start, but at least he got that far, right? And then out of nowhere, somebody calls him. It wasn't someone that he was introduced to. So he thought it was a little bit, you know, iffy because he doesn't know, you know, if this person is for real or he could be a scammer for all he knew because nobody introduced him. And he said, this person said, I heard that you're looking for a territory to buy. And so he said, you know, why don't you take a look at mine? And so he goes and then he realizes, the first thing he realized was that territory is the ideal territory. It was delivering to a Walmart that's right next to the school that his kids go to. And then it was delivering to the Garden Basket, which was right next to where the Funky Monkey used to be and a few other stores, right? And lo and behold, when they got to the price, this person actually asked for a price that was so much lower and lower than the going rate. And it was just an incredible thing for him to realize that this is God solving the mystery for him. This is God solving it for him. Now, of course, their family had been praying for this all along, right? But this was completely out of his control. And on top of that, he and this fellow got to talking about, you know, his kids. Now he can drive his kids to school. And he mentioned, you know, the other guy asked, well, what school do you go to? Do your kids go to? And so he shared with them that it was this particular Christian school. And the guy says, well, guess what? That school is one of your customers now. That's actually one of the places that he's supposed to deliver bread to. And you can see God's fingerprints in all of this, in answering and solving that mystery. But if all we see is that God solved the mystery, I mean, you know, we can learn the lessons of not reacting badly. We can learn the lessons of responding by knowing we're never alone and coming together and praying to God, right? But if the third part, all Chris figures out is that, hey, God provided, God acted, it was a miracle, then it's missing the really important piece that Daniel is pointing out to us. The really important piece that Chris recognizes, that I recognize, that from Daniel it tells all of us to recognize, is the fact that when God does that, he's telling us he is with us through our whole lives. He is not just a God of one miracle. He is not just a God that solves one mystery. He is a God who tells us what is to come in days to come, what is to happen in days to come. And that makes him a God who cares for us, who walks with us, who invites us to walk with him. That is a God that not only a God that we applaud, but a God that we walk with and a God that we can love. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that although we applaud you, we are amazed by the things that you do. And we give thanks for Chris and for perhaps many of us here, including myself, for sure. I know that you have done similar things in my life. And for many who are here, maybe they have also experienced similar things that you have done. We, of course, do applaud you and give you our thanks and give you our adoration. But more than that, we want to come to you and give thanks for the reassurance through the mysteries, because you're not only a God of mysteries, you are the God beyond mysteries. And you invite us to lovingly walk with you. And so we not only applaud you, and even as we are applauding you, we are walking with you and we discover that you're a God that we love. You're a God who cares for us, who loves us, and we respond with love for you and for others as well. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.